Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose has a big smile on her face because today's Friday. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, March 28th, 2014. Everybody's talking, of course, about the game last night. It was a good game. Very close game, but I had predicted the Wildcats would move on, and I think they'll move on. I think they'll beat Wisconsin, too.
You really do?
Yeah. Yeah, I really do. That's the voice of Sarah Garrett Gasson, who will be introduced momentarily.
Sorry.
That's all right. Hope you're having a great day and weekend. We are live each weekday, 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And we're live streaming and podcasting at buckmastershow.com. Every Friday, we want to do a big shout-out to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, The Green Valley News, and Soharita Sun. Thanks to all of the people who work there for supporting our program. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek, a Democrat representing Tucson's Ward 6. And now, to join me in the interview is Sarah Garrett Gasson. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Bill. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I just got all excited.
I know
Cats.
You got excited. You got excited for the Cats because you think the Cats will beat Wisconsin. Wisconsin's pretty good.
Yes, they are, and I certainly hope they do beat Wisconsin. I think the game last night showed that they are an exciting team to watch. If nothing else.
Sarah is editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment, the Buckmaster Show live line is now declared officially open, 790-2040. And we also invite you to be a friend of our program. Slowly we push toward 3,200 friends. Very gratifying, people who support our work here in Tucson. Let's welcome Steve Kasachek. Councilman, how are you today?
I'm well. How are you two doing?
You enjoyed the game?
Well, the last few minutes was great. Yeah. Yeah, I seriously have concerns about my wife and mother-in-law's physical well-being when I sit through games like that. I've got my finger on the 911 dial ready to call for paramedics. But other than that, yeah, it's a pretty fun team to watch.
So, yeah. I think a lot of people were ready to call 911 after that. Councilman, there is a perception that you and your colleagues on the council are not fully on board in support of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base and any future missions. This group, Southern Arizona Defense Alliance, this group newly formed of civic and business leaders, have launched this effort to boost support for DM, and they want a resolution, in effect, saying the council supports any future military action at DM. What do you say to those people?
Well, I won't support any future military action at DM because I think if you had the colonel of the base on here, he would, if you asked him the direct question, is there any future mission at DM that might not be compatible with an Air Force base that is already suffering from encroachment on three different sides, his answer would probably be yes, there are such missions that we could that he could conceive of. So why would you sign on to language that that is meaningless in terms of buying a pig in a poke? I mean, I'm not. Everybody on the council supports DM, but that language is absurd. Even the Department of Defense, in their own study, when they were considering Luke Air Force Base and Tucson and Alamogordo and Boise, Idaho, on their own metrics, they chose Luke Air Force Base for the first missions of the F-35, and a part of that was because of encroachment. There are missions that we absolutely, and I can't speak for the rest of the council, Bill and Sarah. I don't have any idea what their feelings on this are. So, they might want to sign onto a resolution like that. So I'm just answering for me. But with respect to missions generally, yeah, we fought very hard to get the Air Operations Center, which is effectively a large air traffic control system that we put over $25 million into, the DOD did, not we, a year ago, and we were fighting Tyndall Air Force Base in Florida so that ours didn't get poached over there. I'd like to see our AOD operation be expanded. There is an unmanned unit out there already existing where they are piloting unmanned aircraft in other sectors of the world. And again, so there are plenty of missions. I fought some of the folks last fall during the during the campaign about getting out ahead on the A-10 discussion. But it strikes me that we are constantly fighting arguments that have already occurred. The Department of Defense said, Luke, was a better site for the F-35. The Department of Defense is the one who's saying the A-10 has to go. Now, quite frankly, if you want to have an argument about something that Congress ought to get their arms around, it's about sequestration. That's the reason the A-10 is being mothballed. It's not because anybody doesn't recognize that it's a critical low air support unit. Everybody who's flown it, Air Force, Army, people who are on the ground, they want that aircraft. The only reason they're talking about it is because Congress backed themselves into the corner with a stupid way of doing their budgeting. You don't do your budgeting the way sequestration forces Congress to in your business or in your home, but that's what Congress is doing. So I would rather see them argue about sequestration and, furthermore, argue about decisions that haven't been made, such as the unmanned and the expansion of the AOD. But to sign on to language that says anything goes out there, even the colonel wouldn't agree with that.
All right. Steve Kasachek is with us, Tucson City Councilman, and Sarah Garrett-Gasson is up to the plate. Sarah, go ahead.
Hi, Steve.
Howdy.
One of the questions that when we talk a lot about, you know, DM and the role that the city council can play, is there a role that the city council plays? I mean, does the DOD care if the Tucson City Council or any other government body has a position one way or another? Is that something that comes into play in your experience?
Well, a couple ways, answers to that. First of all, you hear the people from Southern Arizona Defense Alignment and the DM-50 say the people back in D.C. Want to move their missions into communities that are receptive and open arms and all of that. I would hope that people making national security decisions back in the Pentagon are looking at a more global picture than whether or not it's a five to two or a 6-1 vote on a city council somewhere out in the Southwest as to whether or not to embrace language that says we'll accept anything that comes to in our direction. I would hope that they're looking at issues that go far beyond that, because we are talking about national security. So when SATA and the DM-50 say that they're looking at those things, my answer to them is, God, I hope they're looking at a whole lot more important things than that. My responsibility is to the residents in this community, and, for instance, the Julia Keene neighborhood, a lot of the Midtown neighborhoods, and to find missions and to advocate for missions that are compatible with a base that does suffer from encroachment, residential encroachment. That's not something that you can just turn your eyes to, because the last thing that any governing body wants to do, and I would suspect the last thing that the Department of Defense wants to advocate for, is to put missions in here that would cause us to get into a position of having to go in eminent domain people's properties and clear out more buffer space around the base. There are missions that we can find and that we can advocate for. The A-10 is one, get rid of sequestration. The unmanned and the AOD, there are missions we can advocate for that fit within a jurisdiction that has encroachment issues. But to simply say anything goes, to me, is just not thinking.
I want to talk a little bit about the survey that Mr. Varney and the Metro Chamber came out with. 129 large employers who employ at least 100 or more workers surveyed by the chamber, and only six of the respondents said that local government bodies understand business. Were you a little bit upset at about the timing of Mr. Varney's survey, with Tesla considering Tucson as a site for their plant that would employ, I think, over 6,000 people?
Yeah, I was. I don't understand what his end game is. He did this. He did a very similar thing last year when Grand Canyon University was being considered. He came out with we had a couple of op-eds that I think one of the last times I was on your show, we talked about when he came out saying that, you know, Tucson doesn't get it. If you are recruiting a major prospect like Tesla, for instance, specifically, Why would you drop a survey that, number one, cherry picks some large employers, but completely ignores the real backbone of the local economy, which is to say the very small local business entrepreneurs that make up the vast percentage of who is churning this economy, and then float it out into the public media, saying that this is a lousy place to come, Tesla. Why would you want to do that when our major employers don't think that this city knows how to do business, and by extension the county? And I would say to you, Bill and Sarah, I was really disappointed in the response from the Metro Chamber, not the Tucson Hispanic Chamber, because Leah Marquez Peterson signed on to a resolution that I drafted for the council. And the resolution very simply said to Tesla, we love this community. We think we have a lot to offer. We'd love to invite you here. We have a flawed business model when it comes to economic development in this community. We have got to get to the point where the city, the county, TRIO, the U of A Tech Park, both chambers of commerce, the major chambers of commerce, can sit in the same room at the same time and work out deal points for major prospects and say, here's what we're going to put into the kitty and here's what you can put into the kitty. And then we can walk out of that door all together so that nobody's taking credit, but we're all sharing in the credit for when we do land a major prospect, and say these are the jurisdictions, public sector, private sector, who want to invite you here. But the pushback I got, even for that resolution, which I think is quite benign, was that this is TRIO's deal. You got to let them handle it. And my answer to that is very simply, if they had a resume that they could point to that demonstrated that TRIO has been successful with these under the rubric of behind closed doors, non-disclosure agreements, we can't even talk about it. If they had a resume they could point to show that worked, I'd back away. The fact of the matter is we haven't had a major employer come here since about World War II, when the then Hughes Aircraft came here, which is now Raytheon. There is a precedent, though, for other jurisdictions successfully employing this business model, and it was Huntsville, Alabama, when they poached some of our Raytheon jobs. They had the governor, they had public sector, private sector, a multi-jurisdictional coalition meeting them on the tarmac, saying this is how much we value you.
All right.
That's what we ought to be doing.
All right, we're going to take a break right here, and I think the last big success was when Mr. Drachman and Howard Hughes sat down in 1950 to lay out Hughes Aircraft. Is that what you would?
Well, I'm saying TRIO hasn't got a resume they can point to that shows anything superior to that.
All right, Steve Kosacek, stay with us. Sarah Garrett-Gasson also will be with us. We'll resume the Buckmaster Friday Focus interview right after this. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Please join us for our special program, Discovery Nights, during March at Biosphere 2. On selected Saturdays in March, Discovery Nights will offer extended hours with family-friendly stargazing and nighttime tours under the beautiful lights of the University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Also, new exhibit previews just being opened to the public for the first time. Visit b2science.org for more information and come visit today. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook, or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847. Welcome back to the Friday Focus interview. Steve Kasachek is with us, Tucson City Councilman, and here is Sarah Garrett Gasson of The Star.
Steve, talking about Tesla, and I should say that I've seen one of the cars on the road recently, and they are absolutely gobsmackingly beautiful, which has nothing really to do with economic development, just appreciation of a nice car. But what do you think the status is? Does Tucson have a chance to get Tesla? Is Tesla a company that we want to? I mean, they've kind of flirted with other markets, and those deals haven't come through. So, what do you think?
Well, first of all, they announced that they were considering Texas and Nevada and Arizona, and I think it was New Mexico. The moment they announced that they were considering these areas, I think it was entirely appropriate and in fact necessary for the city and the county and the Southerners, this regional group, this regional coalition, to get out in front of media people like you two and hold a major press conference and say, we're working together here, multi-jurisdictional public sector, private sector coalition, and we're going to put some deal points together, and we want to bring you here to show you what we have to offer. That's what I think we should have done. We don't do that. We have the Arizona Commerce Authority trying to push for Mesa. The Arizona Commerce Authority is using taxpayer money. If they're going to put money on the table, they need to put an equal amount of money on the table for every jurisdiction in this state, so we're all competing against one another on a level playing field. They don't need to be pimping for Maricopa County versus Pima County. I don't think, to your specific question, I don't think we're going to get the Gigafactory. I think they're probably going to wind up in a place like Reno or that's right across the border from some of their distributorships. But maybe we get a spinoff. We have EV stations all over the community. We have that, which, by the way, their parent is up in Maricopa County. Not everything that begins in Phoenix ends up in Phoenix. We have the U of A research in terms of astronomy. They put the belt of Mars lander. Guess what? Tesla is interested in space exploration too. We have a perfect fit if you put the city, the county trio, and the U of A Tech Park all together. For probably not the Gigafactory, but certainly for some spin-off in some of their horizontally affiliated affiliates, I guess that's the word, some horizontally associated pieces of their business that would work well here. We have the offshore group, which works north and south of the border. We have the inland port, the Port of Tucson, which has a rail hub that can take their products both north and south of the border and also over into California. We're perfectly situated for it, but until we get a business plan together so that this region works well together and it's not us against them, the city, the county, fighting trio, trying to take credit for everything, then we're going to keep failing. I would even go so far as to say I would like to see the city council and the board of supervisors on maybe a quarterly basis have joint meetings. We certainly have enough common interests and common issues that we ought to be sitting and talking about them together instead of through staff and in a very public and open setting. So I just think that there's a flaw in the way that we do things in this community so that we're constantly pitted against each other. And you can, if you've got a good arm, you can throw a stone from the county building to the city hall and right across Presidio Plaza. Our city manager, our mayor, our county administrator, and members of the county staff ought to be walking across that plaza and having regular meetings with one another.
We only have a couple of minutes left, and I'm sorry we didn't have enough time really to delve into the budget, but if you can just give us the bottom line picture, what's going to happen here with the city budget?
Well, we have a long way to go. We've got about a $27 million deficit. The city manager put out a proposal that involved cutting about 70-ish permanent jobs and about 24, 25 non-permanent jobs. We have, that's people's jobs. I've asked the city finance people for some data that I still want to look through. It involves what our debt service has been in the past, what we did with it. Did we pay it? Did we punt it? If we paid it, where did we pay it from? What did that do to our bond rating? So I have a lot of questions I still want to ask of them. Bottom line, though, is that for the city manager to stand up and say, if we make these cuts to personnel, it's not going to have an impact on service delivery, that's just phony. 2 hours before that, I had specifically asked the chief of police in the study session, if we make the cuts that are being proposed to TPD, will it affect your ability to serve the public? And he said he could not guarantee that it would not. And so, obviously, we have to find a way to balance how we're going to pay the deficit with minimizing the impact on the community. But you know what? Full circle to the economic development discussion. We can't have this conversation 12 months from now or 24 months from now about how we're going to fill a deficit. It has to pivot to how we're going to grow our local economy, because that's the way you work your way out of a bad fiscal situation. It's not by cutting services to the community. It's by growing the local economy in an appropriate way. And that's why we need this new business model as far as ED is concerned.
Here's Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Star.
One of the questions that always comes up when I hear people say, well, you know, we can make all these cuts and service won't be affected. Well, then why did you have all those people anyway? I think it's just sort of a natural question. And I think, Steve, that your point is right, that there's no way that you can cut all of that and not be affected. At some point, does this sort of feed into what we were talking about earlier with the city isn't business friendly, county isn't business friendly? Is that all one big ball of wax?
You can't disaggregate any parts of this conversation, and you're right. If the answer to the question is cutting nearly 100 employees will not affect service delivery, then you didn't need them to begin with, and you were running fat. But that's not the answer to the question. According to the chief of police and according to the fire chief, if you're talking to the parks director, he'll tell you, yeah, if we're gonna lose 20 full-time positions, it's gonna mean something in terms of our ability to maintain the parks and put on the events that we want to put on for the community. It all plays together, and that's why I think the most fundamental issue in this community right now, going forward, is how do we get the city and the county and the TRIO and the U of A and the research institution and all of the chambers of commerce in the same room instead of just this persistent we versus they mentality that exists here. And I'm not just bashing on the county, because I hear the same stuff from the city too. The county is doing this and the county is doing that, and the county says the same thing about the city. And I'll circle back to the Huntsville thing. When Huntsville wound up getting the Raytheon jobs out of Tucson, they literally met them on the tarmac with their governor, public sector people, private sector people, saying, we're working together, and here's what we have to offer. We have to adopt that business model. And frankly, if some of the people who have been entrenched in the bureaucracies forever in this community can't get that, then maybe they need to hit the road and we can find some people who can work well together.
All right, Steve Kasachek, thank you very much for spending some time with us, and I hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy the basketball and the outdoor activities that I know that you always have planned for your weekend. Thank you, Steve.
It'll be great. Thank you both.
Thanks a lot. Steve Kasachek with us on our Friday Focus interview. Sarah Garrett-Gasson sticks around for our Reporters Roundtable, and joining us here in studio, Dan Gibson. Dan is the editor of the Tucson Weekly. We'll talk right after this.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanque Verde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
All right, welcome back to the Friday Reporters Roundtable. My name is Bill Buckmaster, and featuring our Reporters Roundtable today, we have Sarah Garrett-Gasson, editor editorial writer, excuse me, I just promoted you to
editor
of the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah is also a columnist for the Star. Dan Gibson is the editor of the Tucson Weekly. Dan, we welcome you to the program. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
If you have a question or comment, the Buckmaster Show live line opens 790-2040. Sarah and Dan, I want to pick up on what Steve Kasachek was talking about, Councilman Kasachek. He really believes, Sarah, the bottom line in economic development and moving the community forward, we've really got to get all these different groups on the same page.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question. And I think this Tucson has shown over, you know, the long view, and I'm speaking about the metro area, you know, including everyone, is that we're not good at doing this. Discussions break down into, well, who's going to get credit for it? Who's in charge? How do I work with you if we don't like each other? And, you know, all these sort of things. And it ends up you're fighting over, you're trying to be king of a small pond rather than working together and proving things for everyone. And it's very short-sighted and it's very damaging.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Dan, what do you think?
What seems so strange is, I mean, obviously it's just, it comes down to being like largely a personality conflict, but the city and county, it's a largely one-party system. It seems like this could be resolved. I mean, obviously it can't be resolved in like a backroom meeting or something. You don't want to violate open meetings laws,
yeah.
But it should not be this complicated to figure out how to be incentivizing to get a company of this Tesla thing is, it's obviously just creates as much just a PR problem for the city as possible. Maybe Tesla was never coming here. Maybe that wasn't really on their radar. The Mesas, the wherever this world are more likely for that to happen. But just in the wake of the whatever happened with Grand Canyon, obviously there's still like a lot of dispute about what that. Now Tesla, it'll just create this narrative of that may not be entirely fair that Tucson is bad for business. But that's what people say. And then when you give them an opportunity to keep saying it, it allows Tucson to be this Eeyore of a city. It's like nothing ever works.
Well,
and then our tail falls off.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
I mean, it used to work here, and I told this story when I was on Christy Simone's Daily Double him last a week ago Thursday about in 1950, Howard Hughes was looking for a place to put a huge aircraft company, and Ray Drachman, the legendary developer, offered Mr. Hughes 32,000 acres in Tucson, and Howard Hughes says, that sounds pretty good. What about government approval? Well, Drachman called up the mayor, the head of the Board of Supervisors, the head of the Chamber of Commerce, and the head of the Tucson Airport Authority, and they all sat down in a private home, and they made the deal. And of course, that won't ever happen, that kind of thing again, because open meeting laws.
Which is a good thing. We like the open meeting law.
Open meeting laws. But what I'm trying to say is that kind of we have this thing in Tucson about maybe we do it too much, about consensus.
Well, it might be the disconnect to some extent between the money parties of the community, the financial, the Jim Clicks and the other, you know, the Diamonds and all that of the world, and the municipalities, these elected officials who largely gathered a lot of their power from neighborhood groups and neighborhood associations and sort of coalitions of individuals who may have a lot of structural power but not a lot of financial power. So maybe that might be as much of it as possible, is like when you need a Jim Click or a Don Diamond to say, hey, listen, whatever it takes, like whatever it takes money-wise, we'll figure that out. Like, we'll do that stuff. But, you know, with Tesla, there is that sort of rub of one of the most powerful people in our community, Jim Click, did not want the changes to happen at the legislature to please Tesla and their direct-to-dealer policy.
Right.
So, I mean, there is that tension. I mean, that is by and large the biggest problem in Arizona politics from top to bottom, is the disconnect between the money people and the people making these decisions.
And I also think in talking about, you know, who gets credit, which is something that Steve Kasachek kind of brought up throughout our conversation, and also who gets the blame. If it doesn't, you know, everything's great, you want credit for it until things don't quite pan out, and then I wasn't part of this, it wasn't me, it was the city, it was the county. It's good to have someone else to foist the blame off on, and you can't do that if you're all working together.
Yeah, and Kasachek is not at all happy with Mr. Varney of the Metropolitan Tucson Chamber of Commerce for putting out this survey, which shows We've heard this for so many years, how Tucson and Pima County are so not business friendly. Kasachek says the timing of this is all wrong. I want to commend Sarah and the Star for pointing out and asking people who have had bad experiences, or if they've had good experiences with the city or county, articulate them, and let's solve these problems rather than this big thing, we're an unfriendly area for business.
Yeah, that was something that we talked about a lot when the survey came out. And I have to say that there are, I hesitate to call it a survey because it's more of a temperature taking sort of a, is the way I looked at it. It seemed it was one look from a particular set of people who had reported bad experiences. But when you drill down, it's like, okay, well, did that happen in 1983 or?
Yeah, how many years ago was your bad experience?
And when I was speaking with someone on the board of the Metro Chamber, and he even used the example of speaking with the business owner who said that the city of Tucson worked with him really well, everything was great, and then the Planning and Zoning Commission didn't approve what he wanted, his project. And so, of course, that turns into, well, government doesn't work, government's unfriendly, when the reality is those are two entirely separate things. So it's something that you have to deal with specifics. And so at the Star, we're asking, please tell us your specifics. We want to know.
It would, by the way, a caller has corrected me. It was not Ray Drachman. Of course, it was Roy Drachman that made the deal with Howard Hughes. Thank you for the Buckmaster Show listeners being good editors.
Yeah, smart listeners. They're ready on it.
I'm sorry to interrupt your train of thought.
Oh, that's right.
Dan Gibson.
No, I mean, I think part of the culture in this town is that, you know, everybody has that story of the person they heard had all these problems with the city. And that's not to say that people in every city have they start a business. There are little wrinkles. There are things that happen. You know, I mean, that's certainly a possibility. But I think in every business owner that I've talked to that has opened something up in the last 2 or 3 years, they've all said, "Oh yeah, it hasn't been a problem at all." They run into tiny things, but you run into things. You can't always blame the problem your contractor had with getting a permit on the city. Oh, it's the city council. The city hates business now. That doesn't mean that there shouldn't be a conversation about that. I think Mayor Rothschild has really done, that's one of the things he's done well, is sort of open up that dialogue. But, you know, when you have a lot of media in this town, a lot of radio hours that are dedicated just to saying how much this city stinks. And I heard Varney do it on a show on this station, say, spend an hour talking about how terrible the city is. And I thought, gosh, at least it's just for me. Like, I recognize the city has problems. But to hear that this guy who's essentially supposed to be a salesperson to the business community for our city, that's what he wants to spend an hour talking about, is how terrible the city is. Oh, great. Good thing. I if he says that in public, I can only imagine what the conversation is in private. You know, like, hey, Tesla, I wouldn't come here. This place is terrible.
All right. Whatever we're saying has certainly touched a nerve with a lot of people. And Jim Kelly ready to go? I think we have Jim ready. Jim, you're with Sarah and Dan. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Sarah, Dan. Sarah brought up an interesting thing where she said that there was something very separate between, say, the Board of Supervisors and the Planning and Zoning Commission. And I think that's what we're talking about, is the disconnects between government agencies and the actual business people. And I believe that that is part of what everybody's complaining about, that the left hand doesn't talk to the right hand, and that government agencies are not, they're not taking the vision of the elected officials and turning them into the tasks that the people elected those people to do. Okay. And that's a big problem for Tucson and Pima County. That disconnect is killing us economically.
Thank you, Jim. Sarah?
One thing I think that we should point out is we don't want rubber stamps. We don't want Pima County Board of Supervisors, Tucson City Council, anyone to just sort of say, yes, business community, whatever you say goes. Because, and I quoted Mayor Rothschild in my editorial about this, saying that, yes, as a business owner, you can make a decision and it happens. But when you're in an elected official, you have to take things in a broader perspective and things have to kind of balance. And it's not just, I want to do this, so therefore it will be done. And I think Jim's point about the disconnect all throughout the system is a good one.
It can be a strange thing. I mean, when you talk to, at least in our line of business, it does come up. Sometimes you'll talk to an elected official and say, you know, listen, we're going to work on this. We're going to figure this out, whatever. And then you'll talk to the bureaucrat A, say, and they're like, oh, that's not happening. Like, they'll just shut it down. Like, and I think that's partially an accountability thing, but there's an element of that sometimes the city council and the board of supervisors don't want to call people out. They don't want to put a name to something and say, hey, listen, we're having a problem with this department and these guys. Maybe that is sort of the issue.
Charles would like to join the conversation. Charles, your comment, please.
Comment and a question. You know, I think, Dan, you just coined Varney's new slogan, Tucson, the Eeyore of business.
Maybe the other way around. I'll work on it. I'm working on that analogy.
I think he prefers to think of it as the power of positive pessimism, but I don't want to put words in his mouth either. I wonder if we're missing an opportunity here in two ways. Number one, when Councilman Kozacik complains about that, is that not the Kozacik barometric index of dissatisfaction? And can we not measure, you know, inversely, the more unhappy he is, probably the better we're doing, number one. And number two is, not facetiously, when I got a permit to develop an acre of land from raw to living on it, I was able to use the county against the state. And I wonder if by having get done what I wanted to do, which was develop the acre of land and move on to it quickly in terms of getting my permits. So what I'm wondering is there not an opportunity, a tremendous opportunity to be gained from governments that can't cooperate? In other words, doesn't that make us more free and get things done more easily when government isn't cooperating against you as well as supposedly for you?
I'd love to hear
a discussion and answer from all
Thank
of you.
Thank you, Charles.
It seems counterintuitive, but I would understand in the sense that sometimes when the city and county end up standing up against the state government, I generally think that's a positive thing. But to some extent, you know, you want these municipalities working in a way that's friendly to the consumer, but also, you know, guided by a larger overall interest. I don't know if we've, as a community, decided what that overall interest is. I don't know if we have. Obviously, we've had a million surveys, you know, and a million projects and all these things.
Town halls.
Yeah, I don't know if we know, if anybody knows what we all want, you know, so that could be the challenge.
Yeah, I don't know that we should measure freedom in frustration. But
all right, Gloria, let's get Gloria's call in here. Gloria would like to join the conversation. Go ahead, Gloria.
I only worked for the city for 6 years.
How many years?
Six.
Okay.
And I remember there was, for a short time, this idea that we would have a customer service initiative, improving customer service. It didn't last for long. But what I would be told is, look, we are just implementing what the council puts into code, the city code. The county has the same problem. These councils come and they implement codes, and then they expect the employees to put the codes into practice, building codes, inspection codes, and so forth. And it seems to me like a lot of the codes of the city and the county were at odds with each other. And we have these wonderful graduate government students whom I think could be put to work to analyze where those differences exist and where they might be improved, that they could be more imbalanced. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Thank you, Gloria. In the old days, yeah, there was a customer service desk, wasn't there, when you'd go into a department store or something. Yeah, there was always, can we help you with something? You having a problem?
Right. And one of the things that I think has been improved over the years is, and one of the biggest complaints, and everyone can relate to this, is just the hassle factor. You know, employee from the municipality says, do X, someone else, you do X, someone else says, no, you should have done Y, and there's no agreement. So I think if we measured everything in just hassle factor, we would probably understand a lot more some of the frustrations.
If there were, I mean, probably if there is somebody in customer service in the city, they're probably losing their job. So, I mean, that's a nice thing to enjoy now, but that's probably in that first line of cuts, I would imagine. It got a 7 on the priority scale.
We've only got a minute and a half left, and the House finally did pass a budget. Ethan Orr was the only Republican, I believe, who voted against the new budget.
Yeah, the Gang of Six, or the Walkout Six.
He was part of the dissident group
of six. That didn't last long.
No.
I mean, it's a tough budget. It's one that, you know, doesn't have a lot of the child services stuff. I guess they're going to have to go back to the drawing board.
Right.
Tucson doesn't get the veterinarian school. I mean, it's
and that was his big complaint, Ethan Orr, who, by the way, will be with us 1 week from today on the Friday round table. He wanted more money for Child Protective Services. Sarah.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. And Ethan and I disagree on many issues, but he is absolutely right about this. It's something that the legislature needs to come back. They need to properly fund child welfare. We know it's a huge problem. And so I say kudos to Ethan for voting with the Democrats on this.
Steve Farley has an interesting comment on Facebook. He says he's overjoyed that the Wildcats pulled off a win in a very tough game in Anaheim. He says it is ironic at the very same time on the Arizona House floor, the majority of state representatives voted to financially pull the rug out from under the University of Arizona. He says we all need to support the U of A off the court as well.
He got money for the added chiropractic services to Access, so there's a thing. Mental health services, still not part of Access by and large, but chiropractic services now partially covered. An airstrip in northern Arizona, so we got that going. I mean, it's a mess of a budget just trying to cater to get those Republican votes, and it got five of them.
Get one nice thing that they've been trying for, I think it's a nice as far as the university is concerned, a veterinary school.
They did not.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, which
but,
really
oh,
ups,
Rose, you're right.
Which
Rose
really
is
ups,
shaking her head. No. So the veterinary school did not go through.
No, it did not. And that really angers
corrected.
A lot of the rural legislators who are saying, hello, we need this.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's still, you know, I mean, and it looks like that's the House one's the likely one to get through the Senate because the Senate's just caving. But, you know, it's another disappointing legislative session for me. But
no surprise.
Yeah.
All right. Sarah Garrett Gaston of The Star, thank you very much. Dan Gibson, thank you very much, Dan, for coming.
Of course. Yeah, my pleasure.
And Dan is going to sit in next Friday for Matt Russell on our weekend watch. Matt will be off, so we'll ask Dan to bone up on what's going on next weekend.
Oh, it's what I live for.
But we'll find out what's going on this weekend in a couple of minutes with Matt Russell. Stay with us. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Weekend Watch with Inside Tucson Food and Beverage columnist Matt Russell is brought to us by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Tomorrow's the Big Beer Fest. They're kicking off the first Brew Fest in Silver City. This should be fun. Almost a dozen brewers from New Mexico taking part. Hey, it's only three and a half hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City. Find out more at southwestnewmexico.org, where there is the full listing of great places to stay and things to do, great places like Bear Mountain Lodge. Let's welcome now a man who has had a few beers in his time, Matt Russell. Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy Friday. Happy weekend, Bill. Nice to hear from you.
A lot going on. Should we start with some spring roll stuff?
Yeah, spring is always a great time to freshen up a local menu here in town, Bill. And our friends at Augustine Kitchen just rolled out its new spring menu today, worthy of a weekend watch mention indeed. I like some of the new items on the menu, like the braised pork shank with brandy and apple lemon butter and something called beet paint. Now, Bill, I don't know what beet paint is, but it ought to be outrageously delicious if the artist is Chef Ryan Clark. Check out the new spring menu at Augustine Kitchen this weekend.
New restaurant in town. I think it's called Knox, N-O-X.
Yeah, and N-O-X, they're on the Skyline and Campbell, and they are starting their new brunch this weekend, and they're going to be kicking it out both Saturdays and Sundays. Things like short rib, eggs, Benedict, and house-made French toast, but the big star, as I understand, bottomless mimosas. Simply said, when your glass is empty, they'll fill it up. No extra charge. Now, of course, we always drink responsibly here on Weekend Watch. Eating responsibly, I'm not making any promises, Bill. We'll see you at Knox for brunch this weekend.
Yeah, I thought I saw you at the Taylor the other day. I mean, you can only go out to a 40. I think you're into the 46 area now, but you can only let out those pants so much. Anyway, one more event we want to tell you about on Weekend Watch. It's happening over at the lovely Tohono O'Chul Park.
Yeah, this Sunday, starting at 4 p.m., is the Sonoran Spring Celebration. It's a festival of nature and art and culture, and of course, they're going to have some great food from some great local restaurants, wine and beer, live music, ballet performances, the list goes on and on. Tickets are only $125, Bill, and a portion of the proceeds are going to help to support Tohono O'Chul's facilities and programs. I think it's a great way to wind down this weekend.
And the column this week in Inside Tucson Business?
Yeah, there's an event coming up on April 6th that's all about local food, and I sat down with a couple of restaurateurs to find out exactly how local they can get. Pick up a copy and read all about it.
All right, Matt, have a great weekend.
Cheers, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Culligan supplies all of our in-studio guests with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. Coming up tomorrow, it's the Expert Talk. It begins with our friend Phil Cedar with his garden show, and it continues right on through Sunday right here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Then, of course, Monday, we're back with the local talk show, is beginning with Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8, and then the Daily Double with Christy Simone. The Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, on behalf of the team, Team Buckmaster, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. We will be back with you on Monday at 12:04. In the meantime, enjoy the weekend, and as the Wildcats prepare to beat Wisconsin on Saturday, have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.